Welcome to the Real Estate Investing Show. I'm Clayton Morris. So glad to have you here on this channel. Our goal is to make you a more intelligent real estate investor. And we dive into deep topics here, whether it's about real estate investing or taxes or just building wealth and strategies around wealth building. There are many ways to build wealth through real estate. And it's important that you find a strategy that works for you. And one of the first questions you might often ask yourself as you explore the world of real estate investing is, hey, should I invest in residential or commercial real estate? That's a great question. Now, I have strong opinions about this. So on today's show, we're going to talk about the benefits of, we'll talk about this in this way. Is commercial real estate better than residential? It's a common trope that's out there. And we're going to talk about the best investment strategy for 2022 and beyond. Because a lot has changed, my friends. A lot has changed in the world of real estate over the past few years, given a pandemic, altering demographics as we have migrations out of big cities. We have offices closing. We have tourism drying up in many towns that relied on large multi-family housing and Airbnbs. And it's all changed. A lot of the rules have gotten thrown out. But I will say, as we were saying in the pre-show today, one thing that hasn't changed, though, is that people will always need a place to live, right? People will always need a place to live. We might not always need an office space, but you're always going to need a place to live, unless the Japanese come up with some fancy way of figuring out how we're going to live in like a pod or something, or the Chinese figure this out. I'm sure you've seen like in China and like Beijing and stuff, they've got like pods people can sleep in. You can rent a pod instead of actually having a home. So unless, barring that, right? And barring we live in some sort of avatar style cryogenics, we're going to need a place to live. And I have really strong opinions about this difference here between commercial and residential, and for good reason. And I want real estate investing to be sustainable, and I want it to be accessible for investors. And I think that that's something that can only be done through residential real estate. It's the only thing that, in my opinion, that residential real estate can provide. Something that is accessible, okay? And something that is attainable for investors. And sustainable for the long term as well, like something that they can do long term. So today, I'm going to share a few main reasons why I think residential real estate comes out on top in pretty much all of these categories. Feel free to disagree with me. I have thick skin. You can yell at me, you can tell me why I'm wrong, but I will tell you, I've done thousands of real estate deals in my career. I owned many, many hundreds of properties over the course of my career in real estate investing. And all of them, save for just a handful, have been residential real estate. And the headaches that I've had from the commercial side were larger and exceeded by a landslide my residential headaches. But we'll get into some of those details. So I want to go through a couple of points here today and why I think residential real estate comes out on top. Let's just start with the basic barrier to entry, number one. Now, for most investors, buying a single family home or a duplex is relatively attainable, okay? Even though the housing market has been wild the last couple of years, it's not out of the question for people to buy homes right now. But commercial buildings are much more expensive and, frankly, almost impossible to come by. Now, I know, Clayton, you should never say impossible. And when you have these big qualifiers, when you say something's impossible or it's always the case, right, then we need to be careful. We need to be careful. But it is incredibly difficult to find commercial properties that you can A, get a great value on, and B, add value to this property. Forced appreciation, whatever it is, it's gonna be very difficult to find a commercial rental property that hasn't had already, lots of value added to it by previous investors, where the return on investment is going to be high enough. So just think of those things when you're starting out in this journey. Number two, predictability. Now, early in 2022, I interviewed Ken McElroy here on the show, my friend, the author of the ABCs of Real Estate Investing. He's a world famous commercial real estate investor. And he told me that commercial real estate buildings were suffering the most from the pandemic. He said because he was getting slaughtered. Personally, he was getting slaughtered in his business. And he said, with businesses cutting hours, closing down, there was a huge struggle when it came to collecting rent in commercial spaces specifically. Now, as far as residential real estate goes, it will always be an essential business, right? While some landlords have certainly struggled to collect rent in the residential space, there are many more programs and opportunities available to help in that situation. Plus, if you're investing in the right markets, you should be able to avoid this for the most part. Historically speaking, residential real estate typically performs well in times of economic hardship, and that has absolutely proven itself to be true during this pandemic. And if you think that we're not going to see another pandemic or some other major issue, I mean, heck, we're talking about Russia and the brinksmanship with Ukraine right now. The United States, CNN, and everyone else in the United States absolutely wants a war. They absolutely want Russia to fully invade Ukraine. CNN would love nothing more with their ratings in the toilet than to have us tuning in to see what's happening with their new war. After all, that's how CNN was built, right? CNN was built on war. So the West wants it. They want this turmoil. They want control. Make no mistake about it, just look at Canada. Look what Canada is doing, seizing bank accounts. And yes, today announcing that it's going to extend its emergency powers so that it can continue to seize bank accounts of average citizens. I mean, this is what governments do. Turmoil is perpetual. We're going to have it. We're going to have more of it. We're going to have pandemics. We're going to have government intervention. We're going to have turmoil. And look at, why do you think so many people right now are turning towards gold and real estate in these crazy times? Have you seen the market today? It's being slaughtered. Have you seen crypto? It's being destroyed. So we are going to continue to have times of economic hardship, and what has sustained itself during these times. Look, I'm a student of history, so pay attention to history. I'm not just inventing things. I'm just going out there and inventing different data points here. Residential real estate, if invested in the smart markets where you have expansive jobs, low crime, good school districts, has been recession resistant. Been the case. Absolutely has been the case. We need to pay attention to these history lessons as we go forward. I really would hate for people to get slammed again. We saw in the pre-show here people talking about the coming crash in March. You're going to see this in the markets. We're talking about $7 per gallon gasoline, $120 per barrel of gas, as Germany today announces they're stopping their Nord 2 pipeline distribution and construction. Folks, we need to pay attention to these broader macroeconomic issues right now and foreign policy issues, because they're going to affect us, right? Let's look at inflation. There is such demand for residential real estate right now that landlords have been able to increase rents tremendously across the country. I'm not saying that's a good thing, but look at Miami. Rents went up 50% since last year. 50%. People will need a place to live. And residential real estate performs well in times of economic hardship. Fact. Number three, and why I prefer residential real estate, is because of financing options. Commercial lending is an entirely different beast than getting a loan on a residential property. A commercial loan is usually harder to come by, harder to qualify for, requires a massive down payment. And by the way, you can't do this on your own. If you're going to acquire a 100-unit apartment complex, unless daddy left you a lot of money, you're not doing this on your own. You're going to be partnering with other investors. You're going to be holding it for a certain amount of time. You're going to be analyzing that property for 60 days. Typically a 60-day close on a commercial property. You're going to be taking a while. There's a lot to like about commercial real estate. Absolutely. Imagine having 100 units that are paying you. Now, typically in those 100-unit apartment complexes, you're never going to have 100% vacancy. Someone is always moving out, which means you need proper property management. An excellent property management team that often will have an on-site manager who's living in the property, managing that property. Ken McElroy in A Cautionary Tale, where he has lost a boatload of money is having poor property management. Literally. That's how he's lost millions of dollars on his large residential real estate. Constant tenant turnover and large vacancies. So you'll need to, you know, require that larger down payment and go through a large, you know, a much more of a headache for financing on commercial real estate. Number four, scalability. Now, once you begin a buy and hold strategy with residential real estate properties, it's typically pretty easy to grow that portfolio. Now, I find that for most investors, getting over the hurdle of buying that first property is the hardest part. And from there, they're off to the races. With commercial real estate, it's much harder to grow and to scale. Now, we could get into a deep argument about that because some would say, well, okay, it's easier then for me to have a buy a 100-unit apartment complex than to go out and try to find 100 individual units. But they're not all the same thing. A 100-unit apartment complex means that you're probably holding it for 8 to 10 years. That's typically the length of time that you hold a larger commercial property. You're partnering with someone else. Okay, you're also having to look at, how do I create forced appreciation on this property? How do I add value to this property? To identify a deal right now that has actual ROI and value for you, it's incredibly difficult. You know, the Chinese have been buying up large apartment complexes in the United States because they wanted their money out of the Chinese market. And so they were literally buying properties that had about a 2% ROI on them, large commercial properties. That means it's basically producing a negative return when you account for inflation. So they're actually losing money. But they didn't care because they wanted their money out of China. But good luck finding something that's bringing in a 4, 5, 6, or 7% return that you then can even add greater value to as a commercial investment, and then keep doing that over and over and over again. Good luck finding these properties right now. You just can't. They're just incredibly difficult to find. Number five, demand. Everyone needs a place to live, so there will always be a demand for homes to rent. Right now, there's not as much of a demand for commercial properties. Just look at the data. Now, if you're investing in the right markets, there's always going to be a need for housing. Now, I want to kind of go through some of the numbers here to reflect what I'm actually talking about, what's actually going on in residential housing space right now. Some of this is specific to the markets that we build our properties in Texas, for Morris Invest, our company, but some of it applies across the country. This should give you some insight into why residential real estate is so powerful. So we're going to go here to the iPad. We're going to pull this up. And Makasina in our chat says, you know, it depends on what your goals are. Absolutely. You know, if your goals are like, you want to become a billionaire, and your whole goal is just like buy more. You want to be like a Grant Cardone and kind of go crazy with it. I know he and I have gotten in debates on residential versus commercial. You know, he wants to be constantly out there doing growth funds and raising rounds of funding, and you know, invest in his fund and all this stuff. Great. But maybe you don't want to live like that, right? Maybe you want a quieter life. You don't need to be constantly raising money and all of that. Maybe you want to have a great portfolio of 50, 60 rental properties that cash flow and produce an amazing lifestyle for you. And maybe that's your solution. So let's go to this Texas Home Price Index here. I want to talk about specifically Texas. So if we look at the Texas Home Price Index, just what we've seen year over year in value, I've left some blanks here. In the chat, I want to ask you guys, what do you think, okay, if we just look at where we are building our single family and duplex homes in West Texas, okay, one of the best rental markets in the country, what do you think, I left it blank there, what do you think the home price index, the increase in value grew by year over year? Like from 2021 or 2020 to 2021, what do you think the value in the homes in this area? Now, I should mention, like, this area where we build our homes, new construction homes, this is not a sexy, flashy Las Vegas style area at all. It's not Miami. It's not San Francisco. This is boring. It's boring. Small town, great people, multiple business, universities, healthcare systems, auto manufacturers, multiplicity of jobs, right? Not a one job town. Okay. Not sexy, not super over, but it's stable growth, stable. And that's what I like. So given that, what do you think? Just throw it out here in the chat. What do you think it is? Drop me a comment. What do you think that the increase in value from 2020 to 2021 in this area? See if anyone can get the correct answer. If you don't get it, that's okay, but I'm going to put it up here on the screen. So it grew by, here is the answer, 19%. Look at that. 19% growth, folks. 19% year-over-year growth. Freaking amazing. In a fairly boring market. Nate said 15. Raul, you almost got it with 20%. Man, a lot of you guys got it. 20%. Good job. Good job, you guys. It's pretty amazing, right? Maybe some of you are already actually investors in there and you probably already know. But what's amazing is interest rates remain virtually unchanged. We expect even higher growth over from 2021 to 2022, by the way. So this number is going to even be lower probably than it will be next year when we see the data. The next question I have for you, the average number of days on market for real estate on the retail side. Now, here's the difference, right? Average days on market for commercial real estate can be, I mean, especially for a lot of commercial real estate where there's no way you can add value to the property, it sits for a long time. Okay, it needs the right buyers. The you know, commercial real estate that ends up getting gobbled up by hedge funds and things like that, or even Chinese investors and so forth, can go quickly. But I'm talking residential retail homes, single families, duplexes. What is the average days on market right now in Texas, in West Texas? How many think can get that? Let me see if anyone can guess the days. I'll give you the answer here. The answer is a whopping, and not crazy, but 32 days. 32 days on market, DOM, 32 days on market. That's the average. That is very, very low, but not crazy. You know, it's not out of control. And how many months worth of inventory do you think we have right now across the state of Texas? This is very important. This is a good measure of the demand for property. So the reason we have a waiting list for our properties, our new construction properties, is because the demand is just off the charts. We have, because there's just not enough properties, right? So if we look at the number of months worth of inventory, this is a good catalyst. This is a good gauge. This is how we, you know, see like the health of the retail housing market across the country. These are the types of data points that you always see on CNBC when they throw these things out. So how many months worth of inventory do you think they are? Like Striper 99 in our chat says, I'm on the waiting list. Mary Louise Fernell, am I saying that right? Farinell says 1.5 months. You're very, very close. Very good. Oh, don't want the eraser. It is 1.6 months. 1.6 months worth of inventory. That's it right now. And then when you look at and compare the return that you get, right? So on residential real estate, like the properties that we do, you're looking at an 18% internal rate of return, IRR, internal rate of return, okay? That's a minimum, and it goes up to higher than that, well into the 20s and beyond, so 20 plus. When you look at the 10-year treasury yield right now, a whopping, and people are moving into like treasury yields and bullion and other areas right now as a safe haven against this craziness. Like if I'm going to move, what choice, if I'm going to want a safe haven or if I want something that's going to produce for me, but it's still safe, I'm going to go into real estate any day of the week rather than going into U.S. Treasury bonds. Ridiculous. I mean, you think about that, right? You think about the loans too. You think about like having a 3% loan, 3.5% loan. So when you break all of this down, what does this mean? It means our clients are getting inventory that nobody else has access to in a market that can't build fast enough to meet current demand levels. Home values right now are growing at 10x the treasury yield, regardless the day, like the day-to-day change, regardless of little minute things that are happening in the news. It's unheard of. Let me repeat that. Home values are growing at 10x the treasury yield right now. You saw these numbers, right? I mean, it grew by 19% year over year compared to a treasury yield of 1.82%. Again, what would you take? I think the answer is pretty clear, right? You know, even though we are starting to see interest rates increasing across the board, they are still nearly 50% of what they were in 2019. 50%. And even then, they were at like four and a quarter, 4.75, really low, incredibly low. So instead, so if you think about that, you still think about, okay, 4% interest, 5% interest, but you're getting an internal rate of return of 18%. Again, using other people's money, OPM, you know? You have to think about those things. And for those reasons, residential real estate is the best purchase you can make right now, in my humble opinion. But my opinion based on the data points and from listening to my commercial real estate investor friends who are sitting on money and in actually investing in duplexes and single families themselves. So I see it in the data. I see it in the numbers. But I'd love to hear your thoughts on this. Drop me a comment below and let me know your thoughts on investing in commercial versus residential real estate. And if you'd like to book a call with our team, you can do so very simply by just going to morrisinvest.com. That's our website. Again, that's morrisinvest.com. You click on the little book a call button. Very simple to do. We'll jump on the phone with you for 30 minutes and we'll get to know you. We'll see what your strategy is. We'll help you build a strategy for investing. And if we can't help you, hey, no harm, no foul. We'll point you in the right direction. We can set up a self-directed IRA. We can do all of that. That's what our team is set up to do. So again, just go. We'll have a link below in the description. You just go to morrisinvest.com and we can walk you through some of these new construction properties that we have in West Texas and beyond.